Hi, I'm Seth Gumry, and this is Rebuilding the American Dream. In this podcast, we introduce you to thought leaders who are shaping the lives of the next generation to discuss the challenges and innovations influencing higher education and how we can adapt to give students a strong foundation for their futures. Today, I have the opportunity to talk to Dr. Mark Parlage, president of the University of Rhode Island. Over the course of his professional higher education career spanning more than 30 years, he has held academic leadership, research, and faculty positions at Monash University, the University of British Columbia, the prestigious Swiss Public Research Institute, École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne, Johns Hopkins University, and the University of California, Davis. A recognized expert and researcher in environmental fluid mechanics, Dr. Parlage has published more than 200 peer-reviewed journal articles. He is a member of the U.S. National Academy of Engineering and a fellow of the Canadian Academy of Engineering, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, the American Meteorological Society, and the American Geophysical Union. He received a number of prestigious academic awards, including an early career James B. Masselwain Medal from the American Geophysical Union and the John Dalton Medal of the European Geosciences Union. He was awarded the 2020 American Meteorological Society's Hydrologic Sciences Medal. Dr. Parlage received his Master's of Science and his doctorate from Cornell University and his Bachelor of Science degree from Griffith University in Australia. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Parlage. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
You have this outstanding career in higher education with incredible international experience. Please tell us a little bit more about your background, and then specifically about how those previous positions helped to prepare you to serve as president of the University of Rhode Island.
I was born in Providence, so that certainly was an attraction to come back home to Rhode Island. My background is really in environmental engineering, and I work on problems related to agriculture, water in the environment, hydrology, and a main area that I work on is turbulence in the lower atmosphere. So turbulence in the first kilometer of the atmosphere above the Earth's surface, and I study the exchange of heat and water between the Earth and the atmosphere. And this has obviously all kinds of interesting problems, from the arrival of hurricanes, turbulence in hurricanes, to turbulence in cities, to blowing snow or pollen from plants. And I have had the pleasure to work at a number of great universities, including the University of Rhode Island. Previously, I was in Australia. I was provost at Monash University, which is Australia's largest university. I spent time as dean of applied science in Canada at the University of British Columbia, and 10 years out in Switzerland at APFL. And before that, I went kind of the classical route. I got a PhD at Cornell, was an assistant and associate prof at UC Davis, and a full prof at Johns Hopkins. And I worked in the summers at in Boulder, Colorado, at the National Center for Atmospheric Research, NCAR, with colleagues there. So I've been both interested in a lot of problems that Rhode Island is interested in, you know, in terms of the blue economy, you know, how we make sustainable use of ocean resources, thinking about questions from food security, aquaculture, to coastal resilience, defense, obviously a lot of work around the Navy and related Air Force, and then questions about offshore wind. So I've done a lot of work myself on wind turbines and the impact on the environment and the connection there. And so that's, of course, very relevant because we're really looking in the United States from up the East Coast to install many, many wind turbines. And so it has the potential to be quite impactful. So that's a little bit about my background. So it was both a very academic background, but also a number of administrative experiences as department heads, deans at a couple of schools, and provosts. So those are also important things to do if you want to become president, so you understand how the university functions.
Leading Monash before coming back to the U.S. and back to Rhode Island, I guess, what are some of the differences that you see between an international institution and a U.S. institution? What are some of the things that you saw that they were doing well that maybe you've brought back here to URI?
I have a strong opinion on this, that the United States actually has the best higher education system in the world. particularly, I think our graduate schools in the United States are just leading. And so, you know, in my time in Australia, Canada, and Switzerland, I think there was a lot of emphasis to try to build a graduate program as we have in the US at basically at our state flagship research universities like University of Rhode Island. So the one thing I would say that I hope to bring to Rhode Island that I spent a lot of time in Canada and Australia, but really learned in Switzerland was how we can interface more actively with industry, how we can really build that innovation culture at the university. The university plays such a crucial role, you know, obviously in new knowledge, but then the translation of that into all kinds of companies that can span all fields. It's not just per se STEM fields, of course, though there's a lot of emphasis there. The other thing is, of course, the interdisciplinary aspect. When I was at UBC, we started a new school of biomedical engineering. I actually copied a little bit the model that we had when I was at Johns Hopkins. So the biomedical engineering sat both in the Faculty of Medicine as well as in the Faculty of Applied Science. I really was impressed by that when I went to Hopkins, which was the school that really started biomedical engineering. So Australia, of course, is also it's an island nation and its coast. A lot of questions related to fisheries, to offshore wind, to agriculture, to defense. And so I'm really looking forward to building stronger and more vibrant ties between Australia and the United States, as well as the west coast of Canada.
Two things you've talked about, right, sort of our sustainable future and working towards a sustainable future, that universities and colleges working closely with industry. As a land and sea grant university, could you share some of the research projects that URI is participating in to achieve sustainability and to move this conversation forward?
Maybe in terms of sustainability, I'll talk a little bit more about our land grant mission. And there are two aspects that are worth highlighting. One is food security. I'm very pleased about our free farmers market, where we're actually every Thursday giving away abundance of our excess food produced on our campus farms. We have three farms here on the campus. So this is produced by students, faculty, and actually many, many, many volunteers who work with us. In terms of a very important question, we're working on looking at controlled environment agriculture. Right now, Rhode Island produces about 2.5% of the produce that we consume. And we want to increase that, importing from the Western US, from California or Arizona is not really sustainable. And of course, flying it from Peru and so forth is not necessarily a good idea. So it's interesting, if you look at around the world after the United States, the Netherlands exports the highest value food product in total. It's a bit surprising. You think of the Netherlands as a small country in terms of land mass, but in fact, because of their controlled environment agriculture, they've really been able to do a good job at food production. And so we will be experimenting and building that in a partnership with industry. So it's an example of really working together with industry, bringing the ideas of our faculty and students forward. But this farm, we believe, will produce probably just on this one farm, some 50 acres, will produce about 8.5% of the food in Rhode Island. So you can see the big jump, and it's important in terms of dealing with questions of climate change and water scarcity and extremes in, you know, the hydrologic system that we're experiencing.
Speaking of those extremes and the things that we're experiencing, how, as a president, as a leader, and you know, leading a flagship institution for the state, how do you have those tough conversations? How do you bring people to the table, and how do you promote these things? I live on the Northeast as well, and right, the conversation about wind farms up and down the East Coast, those can be difficult conversations to have. How do you address those topics?
Well, I think first of all, we begin with a position of respect that everybody brings their opinions, their knowledge to the table, their understanding of the problem. And we have to understand that there are always at some level decisions that will finally have to be made. And we recognize that it's not always obvious to everybody why we're doing it. So it's very important that we create an environment at the university where we can have these difficult conversations. It's transparent. It's based on fact and evidence and the best research and the best understanding. And when we don't know about something, we should also explain that we don't know and that there's more research to be done on a particular problem. But we don't have a lot of time anymore. I think it was some 32 years ago, I remember, we were already talking about the fingerprint of humans on the Earth's climate system. 3 decades later, it's now become very commonplace to see that impact around the Earth. And we're going to have to deal with questions around water safety. We're going to have to deal with questions around sustainability of fisheries. We're going to have to deal with the energy system. So it's not just offshore wind, but it's all the aspects that fall into that. Ornithology, worrying about the marine habitat, to the transmission of the electricity and the microgrid once it gets on onto shore. So there's a lot of work that's going to have to go into that. And the university, I think, is the right place where we really, when we educate our students, we want them to be open to really understanding. And so we have very good people here working in areas of environmental, natural resource economics, marine affairs, marine policy, the law. So there's many pieces that ultimately will come together to address some of these tough problems.
You're in one, I mean, a unique area in the country, right, with access to the coast. And Rhode Island is a unique state in our union, is a smaller state in our union, obviously sandwiched in between some larger major metropolitan areas. But you have, right, a unique opportunity to work closely with your state government, but also the federal government. Talk to us a little bit about what that relationship is like and how it benefits your students at URI and the faculty and some of the things that you guys are doing. And I know the work around food scarcity, but some of the other projects that you have going on.
Yeah, look, it's amazing. And I think we really benefit from this ability to meet and really work with our elected officials, certainly at the federal level, Senators Jack Reed and Sheldon Whitehouse. We meet regularly. They're huge ambassadors, obviously, for the state, but, you know, big supporters for the university. They recognize that how we go as a university is going to impact so many, many lives within the state. So, for example, Sheldon Whitehouse has been a big champion and supporter around efforts that we're doing around blue economy, really working with industry, climate research. And so he's been a big supporter, for example, of our Blue Technology Center that we're building out on the Narragansett Bay campus, the 401 Tech Bridge. Certainly, Senator Jack Reed is fantastic. You know, lots of efforts from ocean research. Last week, we were able to open what's called the Plastics Laboratory Collab, and both he and Congressman Jim Langevin came for a formal presentation. That was just great. So, you know, and obviously Jim Langevin and David Cicilline and Congress have been working with us in questions from cybersecurity and blue economy to obviously federal funding for research. And then at the state level, you know, the governor, Dan McKee, our speaker, Shikarchi, and the Senate president, Dominique Ruggiero, and all the members of the General Assembly, you know, they come out, they defend us, they really work with us, and they speak up on behalf of the university. They help make connections, and they're big supporters. We really need their support. How their support goes is obviously going to have a major impact on the future of the university. Investment in the university is really an investment in the future of the state of Rhode Island. So they know that, and they're supporters.
Speaking of that investment in the university, but it's really in the future of Rhode Island, in a previous conversation, we talked a little bit about URI's talent development program for students. I'd love for you to share a little bit more about the background of the program, the purpose of that program, and then how is that working to help students persist to graduation and obtain that degree, right? That's sort of that key component here as we look to the future of the state and the future of our economy is getting students through to the end.
Yeah, so Talent Development was launched in 1968. It was following the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is really a robust community of many, many accomplished individuals. The first class was some 13 students in 1968 that we admitted. And this year, I think we welcomed more than 350 new students. So we have more than 1,000 scholars right now on campus and well over 4,000 alumni. And so basically it offers Rhode Island's high school graduates, students of color, and those from historically disadvantaged backgrounds, really a nice pathway to URI. We financially support our admitted TD program students. We have a TD house where scholars have a place to call home. But I think the most important thing is we really offer these wraparound services to TD scholars to ensure they graduate and do extremely well. And so we have tutors, we have career resources, we have advisors. They came to campus early at the end of June, so they've already gotten into the mode of the university. It's a real point of pride in the state, and everywhere I go when I meet the graduates who are doing just so many good things, and you know, they're very proud of their, you know, time as University of Rhode Island graduates. And I've really appreciated that so many of them are now coming back and supporting the university. So it's something we can't speak enough about it, because it's been here so long that people take it for granted. But I believe the University of Rhode Island stands out in the United States as really a long-term leader in this area of creating opportunities for the citizens of the state of Rhode Island.
I love the program, and I love all of the wraparound services. How do you think about support structures for students? I mean, with everything that we've gone through with COVID these last few years, how do you think about how are we supporting students now, and maybe some of the things that they have gone through, and potentially some of the things that they lacked as they came out of their senior year in high school?
It's certainly been challenging for many students. It's been a change in lifestyle. If you were studying at home in high school and suddenly now you're back at the university, I will have to say that there is an overwhelming sense of joy to be back. I think students, it's so important. A big part of the university education, of course, is working with your peers, playing with your peers, interacting in clubs and music and theater and, you know, all the other good things that go on in the university. So obviously we really work with all our students. We really want to see them have a healthy time here. So of course, there's counseling that we offer, there's tutoring that we offer. But more generally, I think we offer opportunities to play club sports, to just go to the outing club and do kayaking or sailing and all these other things that so many students end up coming to the University of Rhode Island to be close to the water. So we're really trying to create opportunities so that all our students can spend time, you know, for example, out on the water on a sailboat. So these are important. You know, I think we've seen how our first year retention has really increased to over 85% now. Our graduation rate, you know, basically is about some 70% of our students are coming through and at a healthy pace. Our time to degree is just over 4 years. And a big piece of that is a lot of our students are doing 2 and 3 majors. So I'm quite impressed, plus carrying jobs and doing all the other things that students do. We know that more than 90% of our students are employed, are in graduate school within 6 months after graduation. So that's going well. And finally, you know, we're really connecting. The students are helping us connect back with our K-12 community. We have all kinds of programming and outreach.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think we're in a time where the perceptions of higher education are sort of constantly changing. URI has seen an increasing number of applications every year and bucking what is somewhat of a national trend or a very uneven trend across the country of enrollments being up in some places and down in some places. So as you mentioned, I think those keys around student retention and graduation rates are great examples of the success that URI is having with its students.
One of the things that's been quite interesting is that the University of Rhode Island, there's only about a quarter of the universities in the U.S. that are actually seeing increases in applications of students. And so we are part of that. It's not surprising. I mean, we are Rhode Island's university. We are the flagship. So we're seeing especially even more and more students from out of state applying. We have a very healthy first year student body and the transfers of students in upper years is also looking very good. So, you know, these are all positives. I think students have choices these days. They're much more national and international, and, you know, they know that this is a great community and that they'll receive a fantastic education and they can really apply themselves here in many ways. So we're happy with how the school year's taken off and certainly the trajectory of the university.
This podcast is, you know, about rebuilding the American dream, or just the role that higher education plays in the American dream for so many students. I'd love to know what the American dream means for you, Dr. Parlange.
Well, certainly for me, the university is a very important part of the American dream. It's all about opportunity. It's about choice. It's about access. It's about growth of individuals and the community. And from a very personal point of view, the part of the reason I was born in Providence was my mother, for example, came from Ireland to study as an undergraduate at Bryant College when it was in the city. She worked her way through, you know, working for Amica, because before 1968 in Ireland, you couldn't go to university if you weren't from the gentrified society, and access was not there for somebody who was from a peasant farmer family, let's say. And the same thing for my father. He came from France. He saw the opportunity to go to graduate school, and he went to Brown in aerospace. These are the things that are just so important about the United States. We are become a destination school internationally. And then within our, as I was talking earlier about talent development, really, it's a pathway for the citizens of the state of Rhode Island to really come to the university. I'm really pleased that more than 30% of our students at URI are first in family, first generation students. And now we have scholarships for Narragansett tribal members, students. It's, of course, also all of this is about hard work, working together as a community, working on shared goals. And, you know, building a better nation, better university, better state in all these ways, and much more sustainable and thoughtful and generous, I think. And so that's the American dream for me.
You are obviously constantly running into young people contemplating their future or contemplating their choice of colleges. What advice do you tend to give to someone?
I certainly recommend to all students, take as much math as they can handle. Those are just so fundamental, whether you're in the arts and the humanities to all kinds of sciences and business. I remind students at the University of Rhode Island, we have majors you don't even know about. We have the traditional ones in engineering and science and the arts and humanities and business, but there's many, many other fields in the health sciences, as well as in the environment and life sciences. So keep an open mind. The university is going to open up pathways you never thought possible. Don't be afraid to take a risk. I was very pleased 2 weekends ago at Rhodey Fest. There were more than 300 clubs and societies represented, from the sustainability club to the fire departments to the men and women's hockey team, and certainly the men and women's rugby team. But make friends, build relationships, work hard, network, and really these networks, you never know when you will call on them, and they're going to last for a lifetime. Just go for it. These are, you know, great opportunities, and just as much as you can, seize the moment. Just enjoy your time here, because these are precious days.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for taking a moment to share your thoughts, share a little bit more about the university and the work that you all are doing.
Thank you so much, Seth. That was really good talking with you this morning.
You've been listening to me, Seth Gumry, and this is Rebuilding the American Dream. Find out more on our website, americandream.fm, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Degree Insurance. Until next time.